Hey, Frog fans, welcome back to the Killer Frogs podcast. Just before we begin the podcast, a quick programming note. If you'll notice, the last 3 weeks, we've kind of been on vacation. Well, actually, the last 2 weeks have been a summer vacation, mainly because I took my family on a two-week road trip. I don't recommend going on a two-week road trip with five kids in the car, but we did it, and we survived, and we're back now. Unfortunately, 3 weeks ago, we did have on Mark Cohen on the podcast, but Google ate the podcast. That's right, I'm going to blame this one on Google. And so, thankfully, he has joined us again this week, so we will pick up with the podcast there with Mark Cohen. Again, I want to welcome everybody back after our summer break. We are ready to hit the ground running and ready for Frog football starting up here in just a few weeks. So, without further ado, let's start the podcast. Welcome to the Killer Frogs podcast, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and with us tonight on the panel is Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
We've got Wes Phelan.
Hey, Sean. You gonna be able to get the smell out of that car after 2 weeks with five kids in the car?
We did make many stops, so thankfully we didn't have to. We didn't have any major emergencies in the car this time. Although one of the kids did get car sick.
Oh no! I remember taking my kids on a trip, and one time that smell, and they take off their shoes. I mean, would you guys please put the shoes back on?
Yeah, we had to remind my son many times not to do that.
Yeah, okay.
That's never something you want to do on a two-week road trip. Nope, not good. But we survived. We're all good.
Good.
And joining us again this week is Mark Cohen. Mark, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. And hearing about your road trip with the family, I wondered if maybe you saw Christy Brinkley speeding by you in the fast lane at some point.
little holiday road playing in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny.
Well, when we did get to the theme park, it was closed. So it was good. We did end up going to New Mexico, Grand Canyon, Vegas, Yellowstone National Park, Wyoming, Denver, Colorado. So it was a pretty extensive road trip, but unfortunately, did not see Christy Brinkley.
No Christy Brinkley. Oh,
no Christy Brinkley. So, as we mentioned at the top, 3 weeks ago we had Mark Cohen, who's the SID at TCU. He was on our podcast, but Google kind of made a mistake and ate our podcast. For those of you who've watched this live on YouTube, if you'd seen that episode, you noticed it was an hour-long podcast, and Google truncated it down to a minute and 35 seconds. So, we apologize about that, and we'll make up for it. But we do appreciate Mark coming on this week to make up for that. And to get us started, Mark, a couple of weeks ago we had the Big 12 Media Day, and there was a lot of headlines that came out of that particular media press conference, especially with a lot of different coaches. But one of the things that really impressed us that I wanted to ask you about was how prepared our student athletes at TCU are whenever they face the media. And it was, we've seen it all the time whenever we come to a Tuesday press conference or a post-game press conference and you guys pull players aside and meet with us at the media. And we always are impressed with how well-spoken they are. But seeing them side by side with some of the other players at other schools, it was a glaring difference of how prepared these students are. What can you talk to us a little bit about what's their day like or what's their week like getting prepared for something like Big 12 Media Day?
Well, that's kind of an under-the-radar part of the job, is preparing your student athletes for meeting with the media. I mean, we have a session before we go to Big 12 Media Day, and I explained to them, Coach Patterson has chosen you guys to represent the program. It is an incredible honor that you have been selected, to go to this major event where you're talking 500 plus media. And so we will meet about a week beforehand and discuss every possible question that might come their way. Recommended answers, suggested talking points. The whole idea is, sometimes in football you hear that cliche to make practice harder than the game. Sometimes you feel like you're putting fear into them, but that's your job, is to make sure they are prepared, that every possible question they know could come their way. you know, I'll sometimes preface things by saying, you know what, you're probably not going to get asked about this, but just in case, you know, we want to make sure you're never caught off guard. And we always circle back around to our key talking points. And we want to make sure that our student athletes are always mirroring what Coach Patterson is saying. You know, everybody needs to be on the same page with our student athletes. We're not going to make headlines. You know, sometimes when the local TV will say, man, your guys are really nice. You know, they're well-spoken, but man, they just don't say anything. You know, we smile because that's our job, is to make sure that, you know, we're not making headlines, that everybody is staying humble. Everybody has a common theme and message that mirrors that from the head coach. And so we spend a good bit of time prepping. You know, we also go about the little things, you know, with dress. You know, we put our guys in a team polo, they tuck their shirts in. You know, you're at a formal event and it's not like you're in a barbecue in the backyard. You know, we want to have shirts that are tucked in. And somebody actually made a comment that they noticed our guys looked a little more dressed up, you know, for the occasion than some others with the untucked shirts. But, you know, we make sure they know you are always on. You got to be on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You know, there's no casual conversation, no off the records. And sometimes you're like a proud papa when the day ends and you're walking out of the facility. You know, you're proud of your guys. They did really well in representing not just the football program, but TCU as a whole.
And they do it well, Mark. I tell you, you know, in years past, it's been Scott and I's pleasure to come in, you know, at the preseason, the first media conference for TCU in August. And we always, Scott and I always get a couple of the players and corral them and interview them and hit them with oddball questions.
Which I'm sure Mark loved, you know, right?
Well, I mean, what do you like? What's your favorite? In-N-Out or Whataburger? That sort of thing, you know. So, but, you know, they're all well-spoken. They took it with grace and charm, and they did a great job. And they're obviously well-coached, well-schooled, both on the football field and off. And I think it's a real testimony to what you guys do and Coach Patterson does and just the quality of athlete that we have coming in there at TCU.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, the student athletes, I mean, it's why we have jobs in athletics. I mean, I meet with them at the start of camp every year, you know, and I tell them, I'm here to serve you guys. I'm here to protect you guys. I'm here to promote you guys. You know, and you build a relationship with them. I mean, it's incredibly rewarding. I've been here, this will be year 14, you know, so some of the guys, you know, like the Ty Guns, you know, who I only had 1 year with, they were seniors my first year. And now you start thinking about it, gee whiz, these guys are in their mid-30s. the relationship you have with them, and it doesn't matter if they go to the NFL, that's great, but most of the guys do not go to the NFL, and so you still maintain you know, a connection with them through the years. I mean, it means a lot just to get a Facebook friend request from some player from 10 years ago or a LinkedIn invite. You know, they're always going to be kind of like your son, you know, to some degree, and I think they know I've got their back. And, you know, the relationship is much more than just, can you do this interview or I need you to go talk to this media person? You know, it's just getting to know them, you know, as people. And oftentimes you have 4 or 5 years with them and you do develop, you know, a strong bond.
Well, you talk about relationships. It's not just football players, but it's all the athletes at TCU. And if I remember correctly, you had a pretty interesting story about Matt Carpenter. And one of the requests that he made of you when he didn't think he was going to make it in the major leagues. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, my oldest son, David, who finished TCU in 2015, he was playing baseball at North Crowley High. And, you know, we thought it might be nice. The coach asked me, you know, trying to find a good speaker for the banquet at the end of the year. You know, and I got to thinking, you know, forget the Rangers. I love the Rangers, but it'd be pretty cool to have a TCU guy. So I remember going to Schloss and asking him, hey, do you think any player would be up for this? I mean, you know, obviously we're not going to be able to pay them, but just to go talk to high school kids. And he said, you know what? Let's get Matt Carpenter to do it because Matt needs to know how to do these types of things. And I remember going to him, and he was nervous as can be. His hands were sweaty. And, you know, he did a great job talking with the kids. And, you know, I got a chance to really visit with him just away from the diamond. And afterwards, you know, he was saying, hey, I don't think I'm going to get drafted. You know, I'm 23 years old. Nobody wants to draft a 23-year-old. I'm ancient. He didn't use the Bartolo Colon line, but that was pretty much what he was in college baseball when you're 23 years old. He goes, I'd like to try to get a substitute teaching job. Is there any way, you know, can you write me a letter of recommendation? And I said, absolutely. You know, so I wrote the letter of recommendation to be a substitute teacher. And then he wound up, you know, getting drafted, you know, in the 13th round. Didn't have much leverage when it came to negotiation time. I think we're, you know, just a double-double probably, but, you know, he wound up going to the Cardinals organization, and I still saved that letter of recommendation. And last winter when he was home, you know, he works out on campus a good bit in the off season. I actually showed him that letter that I had it saved on my desk. And he just, I mean, his face just lit up and he goes, is it okay if I keep this? And I said, absolutely. You think I'm going to say no to Matt Carpenter? So, you know, he took that letter of recommendation. And I'm not sure where it is, you know, but that's just the kind of guy he is. And then I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago with David, kind of our last hurrah before our football seasons began. He's at Southern Miss now. And we were like right behind the Cardinal dugout, and he came out. And he didn't know I was going to be at the game. He knew I was going to be there the following day because he was going to help me with some tickets. But I think I surprised him when I yelled, you know, hey, go Frogs, Matt Carpenter. And I held up the hand sign and he just looked, turned and held up the hand sign right back to me. And then coincidence or not, he hit 3 home runs that game. So I thought maybe he would take me on the road with him everywhere. But
yeah, there you go.
No, it's just special. You know, when we went to our first regional, actually, no, when we were hosting a regional for the first time in 2009, I remember Schloss told him, you know, kind of off to the side, you know, because that was his first signee. And, you know, he was kind of the building block for what Schloss was able to create here at TCU.
Well, you know, you mentioned your son being a Southern Miss, but you've got a little bit of a family business going here in the media relations department. You want to talk a little bit about your son, David, and what he's following in your footsteps? I bet that makes you pretty proud.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a compliment or if I should feel disappointment, you know, that he wanted to do what I was doing for a living. You know, he's smarter than me. He's more diverse than me. He's got interests well beyond sports. But, yeah, I remember in Little League, you know, I'd be coaching his teams, and he would do media guides for his Little League teams.
Wow.
And, you know, all his friends from school were on the other teams, so he would do the opponent section and highlight the best player on the other team. And, you know, when he was pitching and say he gave up, like, 2 runs in the first inning, he'd come into the dugout and he'd say, only one of those is earned. Then I would look at him and go, I do the math in my head. I'm like, actually, you're right. That's pretty good. Only one is earned. You know, but he was, you know, he'd be collecting media guides. And, you know, in our business, we're all about proofreading. And so sometimes he would catch a typo and, you know, he would show it to his friends. And I'd say, David, no. They're not going to understand that. You can show it to me. But your friends don't understand that you're supposed to put an asterisk next to conference games or, you know, that there was a typo or a mistake. They're going to think you're weird. Just show it to me, but don't show it to them. They won't understand what you're talking about. But then, you know, he came to TCU and worked in our office all 4 years. And the best thing I ever heard him say, it really meant a lot. You know, somebody asked him why he decided to go into this field. And, you know, at my previous school, Wofford, where I was at for 16 years before coming to TCU, and this is year 14 coming up, you know, he was the bat boy for the baseball team. He traveled on the bus with, you know, with different teams. He sat at the end of the bench in basketball. And he said, you know, I wanted to go into this field because the experiences I had as a kid, you know, being at games, being around coaches and student athletes, I want my kids to have that same experience that I had. And wow. You know, that just meant, you know, a lot to me. And, you know, he's having a blast. Our top student intern we had at TCU in my office the last couple of years, she graduated. Now she's working for him at Southern Miss.
Wow.
Wow. Madam Allen, she went from one coach to another as far as her boss goes. But
poaching your talent.
Yeah, but it's a great place over there, and he's having fun. He's halfway through his master's degree, and, you know, for 25 years old, you know, to be a director and have the responsibilities that he has, you know, now he's bringing – actually, there's more than one Horned Frog. There's three of them over there now that they're – you know, it's a great place for a young person that's starting out in the field. You're going to get all kinds of experience. And
sure.
You know, that's – you know, I think I say most normal people, when they have time off, they go to Cabo, Hawaii, or they live the life of Ryan Zeller. You know, here I am. I go to Hattiesburg, but I have my break.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're worse places to go.
Yeah, Ryan, you're in what, Santa Clara right now, right?
I am. I was just saying before we got online that I'm here for my work. I work for Silver Peak, and we have our company kickoff this week. And I'm on the fourth floor, and I am eye level with Levi's Stadium where the 49ers play. And it just gives me chills. And I was so lucky to be able to go to Raiders preseason game, which was just very last minute. We didn't even realize we were there. We just missed the Cowboys by one night. And then we got to go to a Giants baseball game, which I'd been to one before, and that stadium is amazing with the ocean behind it. So we love sports too. And all of our trips seem to either be wrapped around a TCU sporting event or we can go experience teams. So I get it. It's just
You're probably having lunch with Steph Curry tomorrow and Kevin Durant.
Yeah, right. No. I don't think so. Oh, Mark. Well, you know, I wanted to talk about College Game Day when ESPN visited the campus. I love the story that you have about some of the announcers, Desmond, and then, you know, there's a little bit of a story of Kirk Herbstreit and his son. Tell us about what it's like when you find out that you're the school being chosen, and then what all goes on in that crazy week before the game?
Well, you'll get notified, and you have relationships through the years with some of the key folks at ESPN. And it's not just the talent, you know, it's the producers, the behind the scenes people, and they'll give you a heads up about a week or two in advance that you're on the radar. You know, you're one of X number of games that's kind of been circled as one to watch. And then it was the week before, Oregon was playing somebody, I forget who it was, and they had told us the week before that, hey, it's really down to two schools now. It's either going to be you or Oregon, and it doesn't necessarily matter if both of you win. You know, we're just going to decide, you know, where to go after this weekend. But, you know, you're one of two schools that are being considered. And then all of a sudden you get that phone call, you know, late Saturday night that we're coming to Fort Worth. And it is really quick because the next day, you know, they've got their advanced team over just to kind of do a walkthrough. They had been at the campus commons in 2009. They really liked that venue because you were right in the heart of campus with the dorms surrounding you. And so their advanced team came out and they wound up deciding to go with a different look. You know, the stage was going to face a different way than what it faced in 2009. And so, you know, and the thing is, it's a complete effort by the university. It is not a football program. It is not the athletics department hosting it. The chancellor got behind it, you know. So when you have this event come, it's a university-wide function. You know, the chancellor has members there. You know, you've got your physical plant, student affairs, the people that run the blue. You know, it was just a phenomenal team effort. And so the advanced team will come in on Sunday, and then they'll fly back out that same day with all the notes they took. And then it gets to be about Wednesday when all of a sudden, you know, the stage set up and they start constructing everything. And then the talent comes in, you know, and heck, we love game day. I mean, we're 6-0 all time when game day is at one of our games. And, you know, it's a great effort, you know, when you have Coach Patterson recognizing how special it is, not just for recruiting, but for the city of Fort Worth, you know, to have game day there. you know, he'll go over and, you know, he's got a great relationship with Kirk Herbstreit. You know, Desmond Howard, you know, would come over and use our weight room. We couldn't get him in the cryo sauna. He was a little afraid of that. but these guys, you know, David Pollock, you know, he broke the record in the Huffman Football Center for highest score in pop a shot. You know, we decked him out in a bunch of TCU apparel. And then that game was on Fox, actually, even though it was game day here, the West Virginia game was on Fox. And so all the Fox guys know the ESPN guys. And the next thing you know, you've got a big pickup basketball game going on in Schollmeyer Arena. And Maria Taylor was actually the best player on the court. You know, she played basketball at Georgia. You know, but, you know, the school leaves an impression on people. You know, Kirk Herbstreit had his twin boys on campus recently. You know, they're making a bunch of college visits. And so TCU is a school they wanted to look at, you know, for his boys to go to college. And hopefully, if all goes well, Herbstreit will have on the back of his car a TCU parent sticker.
There you go.
Boy, that's something I know a lot of TCU fans. If you had said that 5 years ago, we would have all been like, no,
it's true.
Way.
Maybe that's when he started seeing TCU in a different light. Because there was a time, you know, that he started, I thought, this is a different Kirk Herbstreit. He's actually bringing up TCU and talking about us. Because before, no one really ever talked about us. That might have been after he visited campus and we got into his heart like we do everybody. So
there you go. He's developed a great relationship with Kirk Herbstreit, with Chris Fowler. You know, Reese Davis has become a great friend. I mean, all those guys have the highest level of respect for Coach. You know, they came to practice, wanted to see him at work. You know, but it's a fantastic opportunity for us to showcase the city of Fort Worth and everything about our university. You know, they've gone to other places after they come to TCU in 2009 and last year. And the schools that they would go to later in the season would go, what did you guys do to them? Because all they do is talk about, well, the TCU did this for us. So I think other schools start getting a little resentful because they know how special and what good care we took of them.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with raising the bar, Mark. Nothing wrong with raising the bar.
I love that.
We've been doing that since 1873.
That's right.
Exactly. Yes, we have.
I remember one of the best things with Desmond Howard when he came in. And a lot of these guys don't – like Lee Corso stayed for a little bit of the game the next day. But a lot of times they just fly right out, you know, because Kirk and Maria, I mean, they've got a game to go to. And so I remember in 2009 when we played Utah, only Desmond Howard was going to stay for the game. And that same night there was some big fight going on in the boxing world. I forget who was fighting. And, you know, the Utah game was, what, like 35-9 maybe in the first couple minutes of the second quarter. And Desmond texts from the field. He goes, I'm going to go watch the fight. I've seen enough of you guys. You are legit, all in caps. He goes, see you later.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that game. Now, Utah was ranked, weren't they ranked number 5 and we were 8 at the time? Or
yeah. You know, we had that heartbreaking loss, you know, that year before, you know, so we were really anxious to avenge that loss. And then we had game day back in Salt Lake City the very next year in 2010. And we, you know, jumped right on them from the get go.
Yeah.
So, Mark, let me ask you a question. Sorry, go ahead, Wes.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go be my guest.
No, I just remember when game day came to Fort Worth and we played Utah. What an exciting and electric game that was. I mean, of course, we beat them pretty handily. But we had, standing room only in the stadium with 50,000 plus in there.
The fire marshal wasn't happy with us.
He'll get over.
Our new AD in place, and he just like, sell. Just keep letting people in. Don't turn anybody away. And so we set the record, like 50,300. You know, a lot of it was SRO. And then congrats, just don't do it again.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere for that game was just electric. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I was one of the 50,000. I was on the east side. It was that was a magical night all the way around.
Yeah, it really was. It truly was.
That was nice. So, Mark, quick question for you. You're talking about how Coach has kind of become friends with a lot of these media guys. How much of that kind of played in, or did it play in at all, with their decision to bring him on to do that kind of panel on ESPN during the playoffs?
The relationship helped. And I mean, Coach Patterson, I don't know if he believes me when I'm telling him, I was always serious several years ago. I think he's got a future in television. And it really showed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then on the game day set in 2010, you know, we had an open week. And so we were going to, you know, promote ourselves, you know, that whole BCS thing that year. And so late in the season, we flew to ESPN on the open week. And they call it the car wash. And it's not a real car wash, but that's just the term they use. And so you go to ESPN. You're on Mike and Mike in the morning. Then you do like First Take, Sports Center, College Football Live. There was the Scott Van Pelt Show, Russillo Show. I mean, it was just a schedule that they would set for you when you're there for like 5-6 hours on campus, and you got about 10 different hits. And then we flew straight from Bristol, Connecticut to Chicago. This is, again, 2010. Because game day was at Wrigley Field. Northwestern was playing Illinois. And so we did the car wash at ESPN on Friday. Then we flew to Chicago. He was on the game day set. And I remember we flew home right after that. And it was like 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon. And I'm watching football on TV going, I was at Wrigley Field this morning? That doesn't seem possible. But, you know, he also, when ESPN was in downtown Fort Worth, you know, for the CFP games and these, you know, he would hop on the Sports Center set. And it was really surreal that here we were not even playing on like New Year's Day. And here's Gary Patterson trending nationally the fact that he was killing it on that coach's show. You know, we played Oklahoma twice in about a 4 or 5 week span. And he was calling out every single play that Oklahoma was going to run. He knew by the way they lined up. Now, of course, you know what's coming. It's also hard to stop them, even though you know what's coming. But he just absolutely, you know, not on purpose, but he just stole the show with just how knowledgeable he was, especially when it came to Oklahoma. And then also we had played Georgia the year before in the Liberty Bowl. So we kind of had a little bit of a familiar feel for the Bulldogs, but especially the Sooners. I mean, you know, it was just – almost comical sometimes of just how he would call out exactly what formation, here's what they're going to do on this play. And he just blew up on Twitter. I mean, that day people were watching, you know, people would look at Twitter and they would see Gary Patterson's. They'd go to that coach's film room and they had to have had the highest ratings ever because
he stole the show. I mean, he was superb.
Yeah, he really put on a clinic that night. I think that was
that
to me was kind of like the highlight of the entire season, was watching him just take apart every single play. It reminded me a little bit like the first year Tony Romo was up in the announcer's booth. He was doing the same thing. He right before the play would start, he'd go, "Okay, now watch this. This is what's going to happen," and it would, and you're just like, "Oh wow, okay, here's a guy who really knows, you know, studies game film." But what Coach did, it was a whole nother level from a defensive side. It was really impressive, and he deserved to be trending nationally because that was a clinic he put on.
You know, we have during the football season on Friday afternoons, we have these production meetings where there's no cameras in the room. You know, I can talk to the TV talent all week, you know, with player human interest stories and stats and notes. And then on Friday is when it comes down to the X's and O's. And so we'll have meetings at 1 o'clock with Coach Cumbie first, where the TV talent, the crew, some of the folks in the truck, you know, get with Coach Cumbie and he talks about the offense with them. And then Coach Patterson will come in after Coach Cumbie. And you start getting guys like Brian Baldinger, Matt Millen. I mean, some of these old school X and O football players slash coaches, and him and Coach Patterson, I mean, they start going for like 45 minutes straight with just – and what's funny is you see these guys picking Coach Patterson's brain. I mean, they've been on Super Bowl teams. They've coached in the NFL, but they want to pick his brain. Like, why do you do this, or how does this work? And, sometimes the play-by-play person, the sideline reporter, and I are just looking at each other, just watching coach and the analyst just go back and forth with X's and O's. And, I've got a California public school education, so I don't know what the heck they're talking about. But
Oh, goodness. I wanted to talk a little bit about how special TCU is in regards to the access that we get to the players, and that how, I mean, all the different events. I think in this last month, I've been to the Gary Patterson Women's Clinic, where several coaches come, tons of players come. They're right there at our fingertips for pictures and just Q&A, and nobody's hanging over them to make sure they're saying the right things. It's just so personable, and they're just so, it's almost like they're honored to be there for us. I mean, they really act like that when we're, the opposite is the feeling. We're just so glad to see them, and they want to spend some time with a bunch of old women. But, and then I think the very next week we had the coaches' luncheon that TCU put on. It was in Dallas with all the coaches, and there was a question panel. I think that's when you were in Chicago, actually, Mark. Yeah. And then I think coming up is the autograph session, where literally they have offensive players on one side and the defense on the other, and the coaches are out there, and you can have a one-on-one with Gary and get his autograph and a picture, and every single player will sign a poster. And they don't just sign it. They literally look you in the eyes. If you bring, sometimes we borrow kids. We don't have kids of our own, so we borrow our nieces and nephews so that we can go to this. And they get the autographs, and the players just talk with them, joke with them. It's not just football. This goes on with baseball and tennis and volleyball and basketball. What is behind all that? I feel very blessed at TCU that we have that access to the players.
Well, it's all due to Coach Patterson. I mean, when you always hear, you see that saying, it's 40 years, not four. He's preparing them for life. They know that, and we preach all the time, the jersey is always on. You're always representing your school. With Coach Patterson's leadership, they stay humbled. They appreciate opportunities. I remember a couple years ago, we had the young kid, kind of a genius type. I think he got admitted to TCU when he was like 9 years old, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
He graduated when he was like 13. I'm not sure how much of a football fan he was, but they wanted to take him into the locker room to meet players.
Oh.
And so they thought, he would be starstruck and wanting to take pictures. It was the complete opposite. The players just mobbed him. I mean, it was like a rock star had walked into their locker room. They all wanted his autograph, and they all wanted to get their picture with him.
Wow.
Oh, that's neat.
You're a small school, 15 to 1 student to faculty ratio. You can't hide your athletes. Oh. Some places they're just doing online courses. They're never in the classroom. Here, because of the nature of our school, a private institution, small campus, small classroom settings, they're eating at Market Square, with the regular students. It just builds that camaraderie, that they know they are part of the campus community. And, whether it's in class or in the dining hall, they're connecting with students. Same thing with the dorm. I mean, they're spread all over campus. But it's just about developing them for life, not just what they do on the field for 4 years.
No, I think that's absolutely great. And you're right, they don't shelter them from anybody. I mean, they put them out there, and that's a great life lesson for any of them. And I just wish I was that 90-year-old kid who was had that kind of IQ. Boy, I tell you what, that kid's got a future ahead of him.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing you enjoy about Big 12 Media Day. We actually went overnight just because of, you had to be there in the morning. We don't want to fight traffic. And, you wanted to have your guys, not have to get up at the crack of dawn because you had to drive across the Metroplex in rush hour. So we had a chance to take them all out to eat the night before. And it was just a nice meal. We went to Del Frisco's right next to the Star.
That's probably a really nice meal there, Mark.
Yes, it was. You're sitting at the table with Coach Patterson and the players, and Coach is always coaching. I mean, he was giving them etiquette tips. They'd bring the bread around, and he was making sure they knew how to pass the bread to your right. And,
He made sure they ordered their steaks medium, right?
Yeah. It's a great way when you're with those guys just away from the field and, you know, just reinforce to them the honor that they had in being selected to represent us the next day.
Well, I think wasn't Eric Hyman that started those etiquette lessons and life lessons for a lot of the athletes?
Yeah.
Not just in football, but all sports.
Yeah.
Teaching them how to set a table and little things like that, that a lot of them my wife says, I still don't know how to set a table properly. She's probably right. But, I think they're good things to learn.
Yeah, through our student athlete development, you know, we have a lot of life skills training sessions, you know, etiquette dinners, how to dress for success, how to interview for a job, you know, when that time comes. There's a lot of, how to manage your money, whether or not you're going pro or not. I mean, it's all about life skills. And we have a concerted effort to do a lot of, it's a responsibility, to teach them away from the field as well.
That's amazing. I mean, I know that's a lot of things, fans obviously don't think about this, is that, the coach's job is only partially on the field. A lot of what he does is off the field with these students. And he talks about, the players as being part of this family, this Frog family. And a lot of us kind of see that and we think, in a team sense, but he really means it as a family.
Oh, it is. And, you see it by the number of players that come back. You see them, out of practice or just, sometimes they're out of state and they walk through the hallways and it's really, neat when you see them come back and all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, they have like three kids now. And I've been there, this would be year 14, son of a gun, I'll hang around long enough. There's going to be one player that comes in as a freshman and I'll be saying, you know what? I remember when your dad played here.
Give it a couple more years.
Always gets me with the reverence. And I'll point to Shannon Brazel, who couldn't be with us tonight, but he speaks of Coach Patterson with a certain reverence in his voice. And it's obvious that Coach Patterson made a real positive impact on guys like on Shannon and just about everybody. And I remember we're talking about getting in your face, and he said, "You want Coach Patterson in your face, because if he's not in your face, it means he doesn't see anything in you to inspire you and move you on to better things." And that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure I'm one of those guys that Patterson would be screaming at all the time. Not that he sees better things than me, but I just because I'm too lazy. But
and his impact goes beyond football. I mean, you walk by his office and you'll see the equestrian coach, the women's tennis coach, a golf coach. They're bringing their recruits in to see him. We have a kid on campus and the head football coach makes time to visit with recruits from other sports.
Wow. No, I think that's fantastic.
Then he's out there doing the first serve at a beach volleyball game.
I think, UT tried to get Coach Patterson for a while. I imagine almost every school out there, if they were smart, wanted to get him, because I do feel like he is the best coach in college, in the history of college, but that's just my personal opinion. But one thing he said was that something very special about TCU, and I think it's because we're small, and I think a lot of people out there don't realize just how small we are. Like, we're under 10,000 in undergrad. That's tiny. And he loved it because all the sports, they all know each other. I remember just recently at the coaches' luncheon or dinner in Dallas, we were waiting for our car to be pulled up, and Coach Schloss, the baseball coach, and Coach Patterson both jumped in the same truck, and Coach Schloss drove them home. Like, they rode over there together. And that's really how it is. The coaches are really friends outside of work, and their families are, most of them live around the school, and they're all very close, and their families get to know each other. It's like AD JD said that he and Del Conte are still talk daily, and their families are very close. And that's something I think that most coaches will say, and players, about TCU.
I remember when Jamie Dixon got hired, one of the best stories is, you know, Jamie had said how Chris Del Conte told him, you know, hey, we're all about basketball now. You know, this is a new era of TCU. It's all about basketball. That's our number one priority, this and that. And Jamie's like, okay, sounds good. Get to campus, and the first day I'm actually here, they're dedicating a statue for the football coach.
You know, Your day will come, Jamie.
Jamie came. I remember Coach Patterson says, hey, when you see Jamie, tell him I want him to come to practice today. And I said, okay. So I find Jamie and I said, hey, GP wants you to come to practice today. And Jamie's like the whole time? That's like 2 hours. I got to stay there the whole time? And I said, no, I think he just wants you to drop in just to check in for a little bit. You know, but Jamie sums up TCU. You know, when he came here, he wasn't just a basketball coach hired to run a program. I mean, this is his alma mater. This is his school. I mean, he's invested in it. And Jamie Dixon, I mean, you see him at equestrian. He goes to swimming and diving meets. He's at men's tennis matches. And that sets the tone. I mean, we had men's tennis Final Four a few years ago. The championships were in Waco. And we had buses, multiple, go down to Waco to support our men's tennis program. And I counted 9 different head coaches were in attendance to watch our men's tennis team play in the Final Four. I mean, that's hard to find anywhere, that type of support.
Yeah, out of town too. That's unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah, and they didn't even go for the open bar on that one.
I know, right? Whatever it takes.
Oh. You gotta love tennis at TCU.
That is, if you haven't been to a men's tennis match, I mean, David Roditi is like Bill Veeck of collegiate tennis. If you know Bill Veeck from back in the day, I mean, what he does with the local restaurants, you've got free food. He gets a little beverage cart out there. It is a scene. You know, we probably on some of those matches with marquee opponents, I mean, we're talking 1,500 to 2,000 people. I mean, you pull up to that complex and people start thinking, wait a minute, I thought baseball was on the road this weekend. It's like, yeah, they are. All the cars are for the tennis match.
Yeah.
And he's done a phenomenal job. You know, a Hall of Fame player. And now what he's done with 3 straight Big 12 championships, 4 straight Sweet 16s, you know, he's a Hall of Fame tennis coach now, not just as a player.
Yeah, and his personality, he's so outgoing, always smiling, always so appreciative, hilarious, just everything about him. You just want to be around him, so charismatic. Almost, and a lot of the coaches like that. Jill Kramer, you know, volleyball season's going on right now, and that's another best-kept secret. If you're ever needing to looking for something to do during the week or on the weekend, go watch a volleyball game. It's in the what we refer to as the Rickle, but the recreation center. And they are loud and they are proud, and it is electric, and it's a lot of fun.
We have 3 TCU grads as head coaches, and all 3 are in the Hall of Fame for us, between Dixon, awesome, Roditi, and Jill Kramer. And Jill was actually our first ever scholarship athlete in the sport of volleyball when we started the program in the late 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, Sean, she's a part of our era. We can claim her.
I know. Yeah.
Plus, her office is right behind mine. We're like office neighbors. So we're a little bond with volleyball because you're right with them.
She's a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of awesome energy. Mark, talk to us about what goes into game day, like our first game coming up. I mean, how early do you have to get up? What are you doing the night before? How crazy is it? How do you stay organized?
You know, you get into a pretty good routine during the season. You kind of know what you do every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And when it gets to be Friday, you know, if it's a night game, you have an opportunity to take the TV talent and crew out for a nice meal. Joe T. Garcia's is often the popular place, or we might hit, you know, Del Frisco's downtown. You know, if it's an 11 a.m. kick, you know, those guys have meetings on Fridays. And then they sometimes, you know, don't want to stay out real late, you know. So if it's an 11 a.m. game, they probably don't want to do dinner the night before. But for sure, if it's an afternoon or evening kick, and then depending on the opponent, you know, if you're playing in Oklahoma and it's a night game, the number of media that are going to be there, you know, we'll probably get to the press box about 5 hours beforehand. If it's a you know, lower profile opponent, you know, with not a full press box, you know, probably 3 hours before kickoff. And, you know, you're just making sure the TV talent, the crew, those in the booth, those in the truck, you know, have every bit of information that they need on you, the pronunciations. Sometimes you hope you don't have to remind people this is Fort Worth, it's not Dallas. I think most of them do have that now.
Yes.
You know, you're visiting with the opponent radio to make sure they've got everything on your team, answering questions, you know, from the media that come in from out of town, making sure they know where to go for post-game press conferences. You know, you're kind of running around. And then finally, when game time comes, I can sit down. You know, everything's in place. And so you keep looking at your the time going, when is it 11 or 2:30 or 7? So I can just sit down. You know, and why we're here is to watch the game, you know, to work during the game. But, you know, your job, you know, is kind of to be an ambassador of TCU. I mean, when people come to campus, to make sure that they have the best working situation, that people were friendly, they got taken care of, not just with good food in the press box, but just, you know, the way you treat people. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, the TV crews, you know, that's probably one of the best parts of the job is just getting to know those folks. And, you know, they, well, like, for example, the game day crew, you know, when they're going to talk about you on Saturday, even if they're not at your game, you know, they want to check in with you during the week. Hey, we're going to talk about the TCU Oklahoma State game. You know, tell me about the Frogs. And then you help them with their preparation, their notes, their talking points. And then you watch the show and you get to see what information they use that you provided them.
I just don't know how you find enough hours in the day, weeks, months during football season, because those of you who aren't on Mark's email list, or Twitter, he has thousands of followers. He's just a wealth of knowledge, like a walking encyclopedia. A lot of people listening to this won't even know what an encyclopedia is, but similar to Wikipedia online. But so, I mean, you're constantly going, and that's just the stuff that we see coming through our email and on our phones. We're not even in the office with you and all the other stuff you do. I don't even know how. You must be incredibly organized. I don't know how you do it, but it's very impressive. And we're so lucky to have you at TCU. I can't imagine what it would be without you sitting in the chair that you sit in. So we're very happy to have you. We appreciate everything you do. And we're looking forward to this football season.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, TCU's been tremendous. It's been 14 years here. I mean, just a great move for the family. You know, when we first moved here, you know, my two younger boys, you know, that are on different ends of the spectrum with autism, they were getting speech therapy at the Miller Clinic on campus, you know, right there on the corner of West Canty and Stadium Drive. And I just felt like, you know, this is home from the get-go because I could be at my office. And then I want to take a break. I just walk across the street to the Miller Clinic and I see the boys, you know, getting their speech therapy. And then my youngest would get dropped off at my office. And, you know, it's just, you know, athletics. I mean, it's like a lifestyle. I mean, you have to have a passion for athletics and enjoy your job. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 gig, you know, but you work because of the student athletes, the coaches, you know, you're with that football program from the first day of camp around August 2 till hopefully early January with a bowl, you know, a nice bowl game, you know, you're with those guys almost 7 days a week. You know, when you go on the road with them, and then very common every year, you're in a hotel room or a hotel with them on Thanksgiving because you're playing in Austin that night, or you're on Thanksgiving Day because you're playing on Black Friday against Texas. And then when the bowl season comes, you're with the football team in a hotel because you're on the road. But it's like a second family to you. And then you go out to practice at a bowl site, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah, I forgot. It's just another football team. But you have Christmas in the hotel, and you're able to bring your family on bowl trips. But, you know, it's a lifestyle. And, yeah, I've been on a college campus since I was 18 years old and never left.
Yeah, my wife accused me of never leaving TCU, even though I've been out since 73. But I've been around. Yeah, that's right. You know, I saw my first TCU game in 1955 when the Frogs played Alabama. And it's been a love affair since then. And I've had the opportunity in the past 20 plus years to be around several of your counterparts. I mean, Rick Covington, you and I spoke a little bit about that. Steve Fink. Preceding you years ago, back when I was in college, was a guy named Jim Garner, who was to me was the quintessential sports information director. They didn't call him media relations director back then. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now that was one of the few conversations I ever had with the great Dan Jenkins, and we were talking about sports information, and he said, "Let me tell you, Mark Cohen is the best." And, you know, Dan can be a little salty in his language, but he said, Mark Cohen is the best goddamn sports information director TCU has ever had. And we're fortunate to have him. And I think coming from Dan Jenkins, that's the ultimate compliment to you. And it just tells you, you know, that he thinks you very highly as a professional and just thinks the world of what you do over there, Mark.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I feel the same way. I mean, having dealt with a lot of the guys, not as many as Dan Jenkins, because he's got a few years on me. But, you know, I think from thinking back to all the other guys I've dealt with and been around, I can't think of another guy that handles it with the pride and passion and professionalism that you do. And I think you're the best in the business.
We do too.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Wes. That means a lot. And, you know, I'm there to represent TCU. Everything I do. Put the Horned Frogs in the best possible light.
And you do it well.
I know we need to start wrapping up, but I didn't want to leave out this part. How did you, TCU especially, gosh, you know, 10 plus years ago, nobody really knew who we were before that, the Sun Bowl that really started it all off. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl and then getting into the Big 12. How did you hear of TCU and how did you get here?
You know, our former athletics director, he's had the most positive influence on me in my career professionally. Just a tremendous mentor and the example he set for me. You know, when I went to school at Cal State Fullerton, the Harvard of the West, I think, you know, for baseball, Kurt Sarlos and Kevin Costner. I mean, those are the three. And Gwen Stefani for the semester. You know, so I finished college and I went to the University of Houston as an intern. You know, worked at U of H for 1 year, had a blast. You know, I worked all the home games for the Oilers, you know, the Rockets and the Astros. And then Danny Morrison, you know, was the athletics director at Wofford. And at the time, the school was Division II, you know, it was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm not sure I'd ever heard of South Carolina before. And I didn't know if I should take the job or not. He just said I should hire because I was only 22 or 23, you know, I was just 1 year out of college. And actually, I was 22 years old. I was still a month away from my 23rd birthday. And he just went on a hunch. He said, I just had a hunch. And so Danny brought me in and I learned so much under him. And I thought I'd be at that school for 1 year. I wound up being there for 16. And then, you know, Danny eventually went from being athletics director at Wofford. The school went Division I. Danny moved up to senior vice president of the college. Then he became the Southern Conference commissioner. And then he became the AD at TCU. And I didn't think I'd ever leave Wofford. I mean, it was 16 years there. And then there was an opening. And Danny, you know, invited me to come out. And for me, it was the low pressure interview because I knew I was content where I was at. But, oh, what the heck, you know, Danny wants me to come out. I'll go take a look at it. I've never been to Fort Worth. So I came out on the visit and just everything about the campus. I mean, the people I met, you know, the Jack Hesselbrocks, the Ross Baileys. I mean, everybody I encountered. I remember going to lunch with Coach Patterson at Colonial. you know, it was just, you know, walking through campus. You know, it just hit me. Wow, this place is pretty special. And it shocked a lot of people in South Carolina when I said, you know, I'm going to TCU. And I thank Danny Morrison for that. You know, so I've only had two jobs in the last 30 years, and both of them were when I was hired by Danny Morrison. So he's the only person that'll give me a job, I guess. You know, and Danny absolutely loved TCU, but when the opportunity came to be president of an NFL team, and, you know, his mentor wanted him to run the team, and his daughter lived in the same city as where the team was located, it was just hard to turn down. But I remember being at his house a week before he announced he was leaving, and he was talking about what they wanted to do to the house and the backyard. I mean, that thing just came up suddenly. But he still has a lot of horned frog in him. He still keeps tabs on us, and yeah, he watches from afar with great pride just at how far we've come. And it's a different place. When I got there in 05 to where we are now, I mean, it's a whole different place.
Danny was truly a great guy, and I miss him. I used to really enjoy talking to him. And we had some great conversations over the years. And he's no longer with the Panthers now, right? Is he? No.
He's teaching. He's at the University of South Carolina in their graduate program for sport management. He's a professor. And before he got into athletics, he was a high school teacher in North Carolina. And so his career has come full cycle. You know, he started off in the classroom, and now he's going to end up in the classroom. You know, he's really enjoying it. He's a grandpa now. You know, but it's just been an honor. I've had three athletic directors at TCU, you know, all different personalities, but all just phenomenal people, you know, that I call for life.
Well, Danny was special. I really, really enjoyed getting to know him, and I'm going to have to hunt his down his email address and send him a letter, because I was talking about him the other day with some people, and I said, I wonder what he's doing. I'm happy to hear that he's back in the classroom. He is Dr. Danny Morrison, by the way. Isn't he?
He had his doctorate years ago, so now he's Dr. Morrison or Professor Morrison, however you want to call him.
Well, and just another one in the long line of special individuals that have made TCU what it is today. And Mark, you're certainly one of those individuals. And like Ryan said, I want to reiterate that again. We are so blessed to have you at TCU, and just getting to know you over the last several years, even sharing a drink with you when we were up in Omaha a few years back. I mean, you are an amazing guy. You have an amazing family, an amazing story. You know, what the fans don't see behind the scenes, what you and your team does, not just for the school, but also for the student athletes. It's something that every TCU fan should get up and cheer for, because you guys do an amazing job, both outwardly facing what TCU is to the public, but also inwardly, like I said, for what the Frog family needs. You guys provide, and it's great. And we really, really appreciate you coming on tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. It's been fun. A lot of fun tonight.
And I wish we had more time to go into more stories, but.
And I will also say, I'm going to go ahead and plug this State of Frog, our first home football game.
It's August 31st, Ryan, 11th. Ryan, that was important. Yeah. You glitched on me. Can you say that one more time?
I will start over. Yes. I wanted to go ahead and plug in that Mark will be joining us for a little bit. It's a busy day on Friday, August 31st, but he's going to be coming by the State of the Frogdom, which is at 11:30 to 1 at Acre Distilling in downtown Fort Worth. Parking is easy and free. So we'll be sending that out on social media this week. So if you're a Killer Frog member, you better get signed up soon. Y'all had a few weeks to sign up before everybody else. It's $10. We hope to have a packed room, have enough room for about 90 guests. So Mark will be there, ADJD, Coach Slosh, Reagan Peebly is going to be there, the women's basketball coach, and hopefully a few more. So we love this time that we is, and it's fun to see them just as a human, as a person, and not, you know, with their game face on. So we enjoy that special time with all of y'all.
I look forward to it. Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome.
It's a good venue.
I know. It's a work day, though. I'm like, how are we going to get around that? But we're all adults. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, y'all listening, you just take Uber. So
yeah, good. I'm going to take a vacation day that day. So. Yeah,
it's all good. Well, we do want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, pretty much all the social media networks out there. And when you get a chance, go to killerfrogs.com. You can go and sign up for the State of the Frogdom there, or go onto the forums and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast, and it's the time where we all get the frogs up, and we get to say,
go, go Frogs!
Go Frogs! Mark, thanks again, man. That was great.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Mark.
You'll have a good night and a good week. See you soon.
Yeah, get a little bit of rest before the crazy season starts in a couple weeks.
We'll do.
All right. Night-night. Bye.
You guys have a good one.
Bye, everybody.